Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hi, I'm Jenny. It's so good to have you join me today. And with me is Reverend Hanbali Leonardi from the Cathedral 11:30 a.m. service and his teammate, Crystal Hong. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
Well, Hali, as everyone calls you that, and it's a really nice. Tell me what your name means.
Oh, Hanbali. I originally came from Indonesia. We migrated to Singapore when I was 6 years old. My mother said I was named after a very famous doctor in Bandung.
Wow.
Hanbali. Actually, Hanbali is a very common name. And there but I didn't really like that name very much because when I was small, they would tease me, my schoolmates in Singapore, they call me hamburger, lemon barley, Han Pao Pao. But after I became a Christian, my mother actually explained to me, Hamba means servant in Bahasa. And in a way, I'm now a church worker, I'm a pastor, and I sort of, I see myself as a servant.
Are living into your name.
Yes. Wow, so Hamba Tuhan means servant of the Lord.
Wow.
So I really enjoy that.
Thank you for being here, Hamba Tuhan.
Thank you.
It's great. You know, you have been in Cathedral for a while and, you know, Cathedral is a big space. I just thought maybe you could regale us by telling us something about yourself. Very few people in Cathedral know.
Okay. Based on my size, I look like a foodie, but actually I'm not really a foodie. I would never queue for food for 15 minutes. I would never do that. And after I discover a good food, I will probably eat it almost every day. Like right now, I'm discovering this Hakka Thunder Tea rice. Oh, I love it very
Seriously?
Much.
Seriously? Yeah. Every day?
Yes, almost every day. It's like comfort food now for me.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is so not me. I'm very glad for food courts and variations and I get stuck trying to decide what to eat. But a stable man and a servant of God should be very easily satisfied, as who says, just let me be content, right? Fantastic. Thank you so much. Crystal, tell me a little bit about yourself. Unlike Hali, I understand that your family upbringing and background was quite different. How did you come to Christ and how was that journey like?
So I have an elder brother. He is 9 years my senior and he was the first one to be converted to the Christian faith. So being the eldest son and the only son in the family, when my parents, especially my mother, found out that he got baptized without their knowledge, so she really flew into a rage and she literally threw my brother out of the house. She wrote a letter and told him no need to come back anymore.
Oh, yeah. No. Must be scary for you watching that when
Yes, because I was only in primary school, he was in poly. So when I saw that, it was a lot of like emotionally, it wasn't also very well because I was afraid of losing my brother. Mm. And then, you know, it's like people are coming to me, my grandmother, my uncle, my aunties all came and said, you cannot become a Christian, okay? You cannot become a Christian, okay?
You're the only last child left in the house.
Yeah. And so I grew up with this concept of I cannot be a Christian.
Wow.
Yes.
So what happened that made you become one?
Yeah. So then my brother, sometimes he will actually share Bible stories with me.
Right.
So he will come by my room and then he will share about Jesus and some Bible stories before bedtime. And then I knew, okay, so this is the God that like my brother worships. But then, so life was quite smooth for me until junior college. I think junior college is just like such a huge adjustment for me. Yeah. And I really couldn't take it. I was failing my subjects, barely passing if ever, you know, I do a bit better. Okay. So then I remember this one day, there's this temple in Tampines. So I was from Tampines Junior College. And so one day I just stepped in and I just like, you know, offered incense to every single idol that's available in that huge temple.
Yes.
And I remember it's like, okay, I think my prayer was that, please help me pass my exams and my common tests. And lo and behold, after the test, obviously, I still didn't achieve what I wanted, that is to pass and even pass with a good grade. Wow. So that got me thinking, so who is God?
Hmm.
Who is this higher being? I started praying to this God that my brother worships.
Right.
And
right.
I remember, you know, it's like my first prayer or something like that. I pray to you, but it doesn't mean that I believe you. And the rest, I couldn't really remember. But it was just interesting to now, on hindsight, looking back, right, how my original prayer, my first prayer to God was.
Okay.
Yeah. And so after that, right, so then it got a bit better. So what happened was, in my first attempt of A-levels, I didn't manage to get into the uni.
Right.
So, but I had the option to repeat my year two back in Tampines Junior College. So that year, I did a repeat year. But then every single time, I will pray to this God, whom I didn't really acknowledge as this God, as my God. So, and
so you were actually starting to have some sort of connection. You were reaching out to God, some sort of connection with God.
Correct.
Okay. So that's true. It's true.
I pray.
Yeah, faith is a journey, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And that year, I had no tuition. Nothing. I was having tuition all the way, but,
that
year I had no tuition, and I was very convicted in that year that, you know, I'm going to go into business, school of business in NTU. Yeah. And so I worked for it, and in the end I passed with flying colors, and there I went into uni. Yeah.
Okay. And did you study business?
Yes, I did.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's right. So now you are here in the Father's business.
Yes.
Amen.
After a long journey.
Thank you for sharing your story. I can relate to that story. And it's true, faith is really a journey, and different ones of us encounter God and get to know Him and trust Him in different ways. Since we're on that, why don't we share with us some stories from the 11:30 service that you have encountered, Pastor Ali, about the faith journeys of some of the people. What brought them to the 11:30? Were they searching? And you know, what are some difficulties people are encountering in their journey, for the millennials especially?
I guess 11:30 started, we were inspired by Holy Trinity Bukit Bintang. It's an Alpha church plant in Kuala Lumpur.
Yes.
So we were inspired by how they were able to connect with young people and retain them and give them a place where they can serve and worship and just take a lot of ownership in the church community. So as you know, Cathedral is it's a very big church, and if you look at all the different services, most of us are, it's more sort of dominated by the baby boomers or the Gen X. I'm a Gen X, so there's little room for the new generation to just come up and take ownership and even leadership in expressing their worship. So, so I noticed some people came from, most of them came, a lot of them come from Alpha. After we have our Alpha run, they experience Alpha and they want to know more about God and they're looking for a place to worship. So some of them have come and be part of our community at 11:30.
So these people who come through Alpha were not part of the cathedral originally.
So,
which is what your 11:30 was supposed to be. It's an outreach.
The original intent was to reach out to the unchurched, especially those who are broken. Yeah. And I love, I think Crystal will hear this many times from me. I like to...
I can anticipate what you're going to say.
It's a quotation from the co-founder of Alpha, Nikki Gumbel. He always likes to say this: church is not an organization you join. It is a family where you belong, a home where you're loved, and a hospital where you find healing. So that's that's something I hold true to. So many of the people I sense as they come, we want a place where we want 11:30 to be a place where they can feel safe, they can feel authentic, and they can find God. They can come in their brokenness, in their vulnerability, and just meet Jesus, who loves them.
No, I think that's really true. I think having been a pastor for 2 decades, I think it's very true that people come to church, and often somehow it's a wrong notion, but somehow people feel that when they come to church, they more or less have to have their act together before they can come. And actually, that's just not it. We want to be a hospital, a home, and a family for people.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the Alpha values is on this 3 B's. You want to elaborate more on the 3 B's, Crystal?
Basically, is belong. I think the order actually matters. Belong, believe, and behave.
Right.
So oftentimes in church, we expect people to behave first before they are empowered to do certain things. But we're going to reverse that and say that, look, let's have a close community, a place where you can call it home.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's where the transformation can come. The seeding of the word, the seeding of that relationship that we have as a community and with God. then that's where the belief will come. And through that, you know, there's the conviction to behave according to God's values.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, I think God created us to be in community. Mm. So there's a deep longing in us for intimacy in our relationships, to feel belonged. And that can be difficult, especially if it's an open city church. And so we have to be very intentional. So Cathedral has this tagline, right? Make Cathedral small.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how is that happening in 1130 service? Besides the fact that it's a new service, what are some of the other things you are doing to help create that sense of family and home and belonging?
So we started connect groups where the young people can come together and just discuss about God's word, how they can live out God's word in their workplace, in their families, and so on. And Crystal, about 2 years ago, right, she started this new ministry called Contenders, where a ministry where you can just soak in God's presence. Maybe you want to share a bit more about Contenders.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, I just want to share a bit also about the vision that of 1130.
Please do, yes.
Yeah, so we have a 3R vision that is a real.
So you had 3 B's and now it's 3 R's. Okay.
Exactly. Good. Yeah. So it's all in 3's. Yeah. So being real, real with ourselves, real with God, and real with one another.
Mm.
2, rooted in Christ, rooted in the community, and rooted in the Word. Yeah. Mm. And finally, reaching our spheres of influence, reaching the next generation and also the unloved.
Right.
Yes, wow. And all these are undergirded by our values.
Right.
So that is the vision after, you know, the leadership came together and we prayed and we worshiped God, and that was how God revealed to us. So that is our compass guiding us to 1130. So as I personally believe in reaching out, and therefore reaching has always been something that's very close to my heart.
Yes.
And therefore one day when I was asking God, okay, God, what can we do about reaching?
Mm.
How to go about doing it? And especially for this next generation, you know? And so he just revealed to me one day, I heard him saying, I want you to be like Joshua, to lead the next generation out into their promised land.
Right.
Then I'm like, right. firstly, am I hearing you correctly, God?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he confirmed it. And then separately, I went on a personal retreat and God revealed a lot to me about how to go about doing it.
Mm,
so because, of course, Joshua, right? So I go back to reading Joshua, what happened to Joshua, who is Joshua, and the things that he did. And, you know, in the book of Joshua, for him, it's about war. He's constantly in war.
That's
and,
right. And Joshua was a warrior.
Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. Or going in and claiming back the land for God. And then I was telling God, I'm a woman. I have not gone through even national service. I've never held a weapon.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
So what is it about war that you are revealing to me? And as I continued to seek him, he shared that your war is a different war.
Mm.
Your war is through prayer.
That's right.
And therefore, For you to lead the next generation, you have to prepare this war room where it is a room where people can just come, and in there comes with a seeking and asking of God.
Hence the contending. Yes. Okay.
And therefore they could, the young could come, providing this space for the young to come in order to seek their destiny, and therefore they can reach out in whichever capacity they have.
So this is something that happens apart from the service.
Mm.
It's at another time.
Yes.
Where it's an open space for anyone who wants to come and really seek God and just pray for their generation and reach their friends. Fantastic. Yep. Yeah. Mm. This reminds me of that verse in Philippians that asks us to stand as one man contending for the gospel.
Amen.
So there's nothing that unites us together as coming to God and humbling ourselves and praying. Yeah. And I'm sure, how long has this contender been going on? I'm sure you've been seeing marvelous things come out of it.
It's been going on for about a year. We are into our second year.
Nice.
And in fact, today is going to be the first session of the year.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So many youths have come. We still believe in providing that open space.
Yes.
So it's regardless of denomination, regardless of which church you belong to. I don't take attendance. So come as you are, and we pray. We have prayed through for many things. Different prayer movements that's happening,
sure, yes.
And also praying for the church, praying for the leadership, many of our different prayer pointers as the Lord leads us week on week. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not so much like coming with a laundry list of things, but coming and worshiping God and just moving with the heart of God and praying. Mm. Yeah. It's a very beautiful experience. Yeah. It's powerful too. Just flowing with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's an expression of our identity as children of God, right?
Yes.
Hanging out with the Father and just, you know, letting God download what's on His heart and being able to share in it.
And initiated by Crystal and her group of young...
Her fellow contenders.
Yes, my fellow contenders.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear this because, everywhere that I've gone in Singapore, many churches have got young people rising up and taking initiative and ownership. And interestingly, there is this common thread through all of it, which is a return to prayer and to worship.
Mm.
That's really wonderful to hear.
A sense of spiritual discontent.
That's right.
They want to wrestle with God. They want to... contend with God.
Mm, definitely. I think God is taking the church to the next, her next place.
So we are of the slightly older generation to give them
just
space.
Just you. I'm this millennial trapped in an older body, so it's different. So how are you positioning contenders in the 1130 service and how do the two dovetail for you?
So it's more of like a place for them to just feel safe. They can just pray and soak in God's presence. Mm. So we encourage them to come, but so not everyone is ready for it, but we just encourage.
Sure, of course.
No agenda, just come and be in God's presence and be really authentic with God.
Okay, I want to ask you another question because I think sometimes the older generation, like myself, we tend to complain that the younger people are not like, you know, not very serious about church, you know, they're so busy with social media, la-di-la-di. What in your pastoral experience have proven to be a really tricky discipleship issue for you?
Tricky discipleship?
That you find, wow, it's really hard to disciple this younger generation because of these one or two things that keep coming up. Is it their busyness? Is it their distraction? What has it been like for you?
More of a... Well, there's an identity issue. It's all about identity.
Yes.
Especially we are brought up in a very competitive meritocracy. So it's our identity is placed on our work, our vocation, what you do. So there's a lot of doing bit.
Right.
And so if you don't have any position in church... So most people come to serve church because they want to find acceptance. They want to find a sense of belonging. But we want to be different from that. We want to start with the being.
Right.
So contenders and, you know, being rooted in Christ, being rooted in the Word is more important. Being real with God first. Right. So that being is important. That you belong to God. You start out as Mary first before you became, you know.
So that you don't get so busy. You want the ministry and the service more to be an overflow of that growing relationship.
Yes, I think
that's a very important shift.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that shift will prevent burnout.
Exactly, for the long haul.
Yes, in the long run.
It's a marathon rather than a sprint.
Yes,
correct.
Wow.
Anything, Crystal? How about you? Anything that you observe?
Personally, I believe in giving the youth a voice too. Because I think, you know, as they are in the environment where they are always being under the authority of their parents, in school it's the teacher, other teachers, and they hardly have any voice to voice out some of their thoughts, some of their feelings. And I think it is important to give them the space to have this voice, to let us hear them out. What is it that they are feeling? What is it that they are finding so difficult to come to God with, rather than coming top down? Have you done your quiet time? Have you done your prayer time?
Yes.
And have you read God's word? But really, it's being authentic, bringing them to that space where they feel safe enough to open up. Because I think today, like what Reverend Harley has mentioned, it's all about performance. How many A's have I received? How many, you know, like what are some of the leadership positions that I have achieved, you know? It's all about achievement.
Yes.
But I think it's just being coming back to who you are as child of God.
So good. And I think what you just said, if you're a parent listening to this, please listen up. Your children need you to listen to them so that they have someone safe to talk to about what is going on. I think having doubts and having struggles is not a sin. Yes. But having someone safe with you to walk through that is actually a very important thing, because that's how growth happens. Okay, one last thing. What is something about 1130 that you are very excited about for 2019 that you're really looking forward to? Both of you, quickly, in 10 seconds.
Especially for this year of hope, we're really exciting that God will bring many, many people outside of His penfold to come, especially those who are broken, those who are hungry, seeking the Lord. And we're really excited for that.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. So the Ministry of Counseling will have to ramp up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I think what I'm excited about is to see everybody coming together also to really, you know, catch that vision that God has poured out in Singapore this year in line with the Celebration of Hope, where it is about bringing a friend, bringing someone back to God's kingdom. Yeah.
Amen, indeed. Thank you so much, man. This is a nice conversation. Thank you for reminding us about the importance of belonging, of being able to ask questions about our faith, caring for and creating safe spaces for the next generation to arise, to own their faith, to express it, and to contend for it. Mm. Thank you again, Harley and Crystal.
Thank you,
Jenny.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.